The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia. This is the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome into the Touchdown City Show. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church Studio. We have a special edition of the show today. So thank you guys for taking the opportunity to download the podcast. And today's episode is presented by our friends at Parmar and also the Masters Law Firm. And joining me here in the studio today, a West Virginia and now West Virginia Mountaineer, Xavier Bosley. Xavier, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this one's one that I've been looking forward to for a long time. The listeners here have heard your name several times because through the course of the season, while we're doing radio and our podcast, we always talk about Jacksonville State, and we bring you up, being from Dunbar and being down there in Alabama with Rich and Rick Trickett. But we're going to go through the whole process here. So let's start Dunbar. You're a kid.
Yes, sir.
There's a picture your dad posted the other day that used to be in the barbershop. And for full disclosure, I've known Xavier's dad probably 35 years plus. We were teenagers. Yeah. I used to get my hair cut in your grandmother's house.
Wow.
So there we go. So there's a picture of you that your dad recently shared. You're in your WVU outfit. And so you've been a lifelong Mountaineer fan.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that. What do you remember from your childhood? When did you start to fall in love with the Mountaineers?
Well, I mean, growing up when I was like 5 years old, I had Pat White jerseys, and then he went to the Dolphins, and we're Dolphins fans, so I had a Pat White WVU jersey, I had a Pat White Dolphin jersey, so it was just growing up in the state, you know how big West Virginia football is. I mean, even after the Pat White days, I had Tavon Austin jersey, Geno Smith jerseys, and I remember, like when the, they were in the Orange Bowl, my mom made me go to bed because it was such a late game, and I woke up, and they were like, because it was close when I went to bed, and then I wake up, mom's like, we won 70-33, and I'm like, what? this isn't a basketball game. But I mean, those memories just always stick in my head. And the next day after the Orange Bowl, everybody coming in their Mountaineer gear, I mean, so yeah, I mean, it's going to mean a lot to be able to play for the team that I grew up watching and loving.
You know, and that's something that kind of, I think that's how a lot of people that are fans and people in West Virginia, that's how it happens for them. They fall in love. Like for me, for instance, it started in 1988 with Major Harris, and it goes back to then, and then Jake Kelchner and Robert Walker, who's originally from Dunbar. You know, so, you know, there's this love affair that you have as a kid, and you love WVU sports, and then you get an opportunity to go and participate, and you'll get to actually wear the helmet, where my participation was a little different on the administrative side and the employment side. But it was just an honor to be a part of it. But even further back into your childhood, I mean, talk about, you know, developing your love for football. I know, God, I remember when you guys were young. Now, I've known you since, I remember when you were born. And I've always followed what's been going on with you and your dad. But I mean, you guys would win championships in Dunbar. You guys had it rolling over there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Dunbar youth football is really the big thing in Dunbar. Like, that's really, in the small town, that's what we have. That's all we have left, really. You know, all the, a lot of jobs leaving and stuff, we still have Dunbar youth football to really fall back on, and it's huge. I mean, we won the we had to keep changing little league leagues and things like that, but every single league we went to, we would win the championship. And you know, it just, it means a lot to the Dunbar community. You know, you, it's just a culture. You know, you grow up watching Aaron Dobson and Derek Pitts and all these guys, and you just, you want to be like those guys and look up to them.
So when did you start to grow, like, as far as like whoa, I'm getting real big now. I'm growing. Like, and then to the point where it's like, wait a minute, I may be able to do a little something here in high school.
I've been consistently the biggest guy in my grade for a while. You know, when you're growing up and you're a lineman, you don't really get the recognition as being a good football player or whatever. But once you get to high school, you see the coaches are starting to notice your size, and you're like, oh, I might actually be good at football. You don't got to be a running back or a receiver to be the guy. And I really started to notice my sophomore year in high school. But then COVID hit and things like that, and it really stunted my recruiting a lot. Because, you know, I gained a good 50 pounds in COVID just because you can't go outside. And, you know, I eat a lot. So, I mean, my day during COVID consisted of video games and pizza bites and Mountain Dew. I mean, that's just how it was. And that really, I'm coming to these camps, and they're like, man, you've gained a lot of weight. And, you know, and then my senior year in high school, I really made a concerted effort to get that weight off, and then I lost the 50 pounds that I gained going on these diets. But in turn, when you go on like a keto diet, you're going to lose weight, but you're going to lose muscle in turn. Like, it's just how it's going to go. So I lost a lot of my strength. So a lot of the Power Five schools had stopped really looking at me, offering me preferred walk-ons and things, but then I got the opportunity at Jacksonville State, last minute offer, and then I just made the most out of that.
Let's talk a little bit about your recruiting process the first time around, but out of high school. I know that you used to attend the WVU football camps, and you do a lot of camps, and even were you named an MVP at one of them?
At your position? West Virginia Big Man Camp, I was named the MVP,
And so you went through the – so you've known this staff. You visited and – talk about the first go around a little bit. I mean, I know that there was a little bit of disappointment that the offer didn't come and you were kind of waiting on it. And but you had other offers and other opportunities, which we'll get into. But, you know, what was that like as a kid who's a fan? And wants to represent his state to not get that call that first time around?
I mean, it was definitely disappointing. You know, you start to question yourself and you lose a little confidence because you always wanted to do something, and then the opportunity just didn't come. But, I mean, like, looking back at it, if I go back and watch my high school tape, you know, I'm going to look and see, like, oh, I wasn't that good at this and that, and I've gotten a lot better at that. So, I mean, I can't focus on the past to that. You know, all these other schools that were interested in me didn't look at me either. So, I can't really blame them for missing out on me, because every other school did besides Jacksonville State.
Who offered you out of high school? So you didn't get the call from Morgantown or even Huntington. You got a call. Who was talking to you?
So out of high school, I had two Division I offers, but small. They were Jacksonville State in Alabama, and then Fordham, which is in the Bronx in New York. And then I had Division II offers from almost, you know, West Virginia is a big Division II, like Mecca, like the MEC. I had every school in there offered me.
And so, if I remember correctly, you had some Ivy League offers as well?
Yep, I had Harvard and Columbia. But, you know, those schools can't offer athletic money. Right. So that was kind of off the table once I learned that fact about that. But, yeah.
Enter Linville State.
Yeah.
And Rick Trickett.
Yeah.
Talk about Rick Trickett and what in just your relationship with him in high school. He obviously wanted you to come to Glenville.
Yeah. So at Glenville, as I said, they're in the MEC, and he told me that I don't see what all these Division I's don't see. If I was at any school in the country, I would offer you. But, you know, I'm at Glenville State, so we're going to offer you this and that. And so it just so happens that every day he's calling in, checking in on me. That's just the type of recruiter he is. He's not a big show guy. He's not going to post you or anything. He's just going to call you and check in on you. So then Rich Rodriguez gets the job at Jacksonville State. Then I wake up to like 5 missed calls from Trickett. And he's like, I finally get back to him. He's like, what you doing? I'm like, I just woke up, coach. And he's like, well, I'm not going to be at Glenville State anymore. And I'm thinking, oh, he's going to tell me he's going to Division I. He's not going to take me or whatever. And then he tells me, I want to take you with me. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. So
Alabama.
Yeah, he didn't even tell me the place yet. And then the next day he was like, yeah, Jacksonville State is confirmed. Do your research on it. We're going to offer you. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got to go down and visit.
Yep. Me and my family went down and visited. You know, it was a huge adjustment for my mom, especially that being that far away from home. But I feel like it gave me you learn how to be independent and learn how to do a lot of things. When your car is broke down, you can't call somebody to drive 8 hours and come fix it. You gotta mm-hmm. do it yourself. So I mean, it just helps you a lot become a man and mature a lot more.
The transition from the lower level to the Conference USA level, you were a part of that. You redshirted a year, then you mm-hmm. got to go in. But just talk about, you know, I know how Rich Rodriguez runs a program. I know yeah. how Coach Trickett coaches his players. What was it like learning from Rick Trickett at yeah. that position? Because I'll be honest with you, when your dad told me you're down there visiting, I said, just commit. You're going to be playing for the yeah. best offensive line coach in the country.
Yep, for sure. I mean, with them, the biggest thing is attention to detail. They every little thing is scrutinized and criticized. So you just learn to be great at everything that you do. If your step's not big enough, he's gonna criticize that. Even if you made the block correctly, he's gonna criticize that and make sure that step is perfect. And he emphasizes perfection. Even though you're never gonna achieve perfection, he's gonna keep emphasizing it into where you're never satisfied with yourself as a player, and you just want to keep improving and keep improving. And Rich Rod was the same way.
All right, so I could call Sheffy, I could call Dan Moses, I could call these guys. You've probably heard their names.
Yeah.
Do you have any funny Rick Trickett stories that you can tell?
Oh, I mean, you got I could give you a Dan Moses story. So, I mean, our center didn't get a reach on, like, an outside zone or something like that, and Trickett goes, Dan Moses used to tell them guys that he was about to reach him, and then he'd do it. But I guess we just don't have the confidence like that.
Yeah. So I remember and
by the way, that was a censored version of that.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know that. Yeah.
My favorite was when he used to take his hat off and slap the guys across the chest. Oh, yeah.
He still does,
you know,
because
he's only about 5'8".
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then he's dealing with guys that are 6'5", 6'6".
Yeah, exactly.
And he's cracking them in the chest. So, obviously, this year, you guys had a great season at Jacksonville State. You guys are on TV a ton. I watched yep. you guys all the time, which was a lot of fun, just being able to watch you and, of course, see the guys I know on the sideline, Rod mm-hmm. Olds and all those guys. And, you know, you guys went down to South Carolina, and I think this is – you were obviously having a great season. Yep. You guys were grading out well. But then you go down, and you've got an end-of-the-year game against South Carolina.
Yeah.
Where was your confidence level as far as, man, I'm getting this, before you went to South Carolina? And then where was it after the way you performed down there? Because you guys, I'll be honest, you guys should have beat them.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where was it for you as you developed into your redshirt freshman year, your confidence level?
Yep. So, I mean, coming into the season, you know, the watching FCS film versus watching FBS film, the automatic you just see it on film is the size difference. I mean, at the FCS level, you're going to have either big guys that are slow or fast guys that are small. Mm-hmm. Most of the time. Now, you have your exceptions here and there. But at the FBS level, they're normally big and fast, especially when you talk about the SEC.
SEC, yeah.
Yeah, but so coming into the season – UTEP had a very good defensive end, so I really had to – so getting to play good against that really got my confidence up, because, you know, coming in the game, I was nervous. I was like, this is probably one of the better defensive ends I got to play.
Right.
And it's the first game. I have no in-game experience at this point. So when I played good against him, the rest of Conference USA, he's probably the best defensive end in Conference USA. The rest of Conference USA just didn't seem as hard after mm-hmm. that. So then coming into South Carolina, then now these guys are the top tier athletes. I mean, you're right. Watching this film and you're like, whoa. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you're not watching Northeast Louisiana Tech or something like that. You're right. Watching the Georgia Bulldogs right. play the South Carolina Gamecocks. It's all of a sudden, it's a lot different,
right.
The level of talent, the strength, the speed. So coming into that game, I was nervous for that as well. You know, we got to South Carolina, and I mean, you look up in the stands, and in warm-ups, there's not a lot of people there, and you're thinking, there's no way they're going to fill up this big thing. They're 2-6. Like, mm-hmm. there's no way until we come out for the game, and that
Surprise.
Place is packed. I mean, you would have thought they were 8-0.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was crazy. So, you know, but that gives you a good adrenaline rush, just knowing that many people are watching you, man, you know. And we come into the game. They had good defensive ends for sure. You know, and I think I held my own against them. And then after that, my confidence level just grew a great bit.
So, you know, you guys go down, you win your bowl game, have a great season. And then the process starts for you. Obviously, you're named a freshman All-American by The Athletic, I believe.
Yep.
And so you're on radars.
Yeah.
And then the process starts, you know, in today's college football world, people are looking for solid players that maybe they missed on the first go around.
Yeah.
So what was that process like for you? You entered the portal. Then I'm sure as soon as I saw it pop up, I'm sure everyone else did.
Yeah.
And the phone starts ringing.
Yeah.
Who do you hear from first?
I mean, I heard from – it's hard to say first.
Right.
I mean
– It was nonstop.
My phone has never been blown up like that. Like, my phone was just constantly vibrating. It was like my leg had a massage chair. It was crazy. I mean, and, you know, all these coaches are following you, and you're trying to just sort out, like, how interested they actually are, because you don't want to be recruited for depth. That was my main thing. I do not want to get because once you transfer once, you have one uncontested transfer
mm-hmm.
to any place you want. So I didn't want to get stuck there for 3 years sitting behind somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So one big thing I did was I didn't post any of the offers that I received.
Right.
Because I didn't want them to offer me because Texas A&M offered me. I wanted them to offer me because they watched my film and thought that I was a good player. I don't want them to think, oh, Alabama's offering them. I'm the Georgia Bulldogs. I'm gonna offer them. No,
mm-hmm.
I want you to see my film and see that I'm a great player. I don't want you to someone else to do the work for you. I guess I would say.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it boiled down to I did see something come across Twitter. I think it was your final three. Like,
yeah,
here's where I'm gonna go visit.
Yeah,
Kentucky, Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
West Virginia.
Yeah,
how was Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh was, I mean, the visit was went great. I mean, until the very end, I guess I can tell this story now. I'm talking to Coach Narduzzi, and I mean, this will get West Virginia fans fired up. But I'm talking to Coach Narduzzi, and he's just, we're having a great time at Pittsburgh. And he's like, at the very end, like, we're about to walk out. He's like, if I'm you, I don't even know why you'd visit WVU. You've been there. Why would you even visit? I don't get it.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah. And he's like, if I'm you, I'm committing right now. We're only taking one lineman, and we've got three others here right now. If any of them commit,
they tried to pressure you.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then there's a reason why they tried to pressure me, and it's not because of how many linemen they were taking. They would have took me either way. But so the next day at my West Virginia visit, it comes across my Twitter, Pittsburgh has fired their offensive line coach. I'm like,
oh boy.
So this whole time I was hanging out with this guy, like, this is who I did most of my visit with, and you couldn't have pulled me aside to say he's not gonna be here. Like, this is who I think I'm gonna play for. So they didn't just fire their offensive line coach, they fired their whole offensive staff besides the offensive coordinator. So they're calling me, and I'm like, look, guys, I mean,
yeah,
I'm not going to go play for a coach that I haven't met in person. I'm not. Right. You can give me his number all you want. It's over, guys. But like, yeah. So I mean, it was a great visit up until that point. I mean, I was really considering it.
Yeah, my grandmother lives over on the north side. I've been going to Pittsburgh my whole life, and you know the campus is, you know, it's a little different. You know, it's definitely a campus within a city.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, you know, I always think about that. Like, you know, you follow, and I'm not a super follower of recruiting. I have a little bit more vested interest in you, of course, but I do follow just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then when it gets down to like, well, this kid's deciding between West Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Pitt, and they commit to Pitt. I always wonder, like, wonder what it was. Like, is it this being in the city and having more access to city life and like restaurants and baseball in the summer and the Steelers, or is it about the, you know, the campus? It's always interesting how kids or you know, young men think about the recruiting prospect. So then you go down to Kentucky. Would you go to Morgantown next?
Yeah, I went to Morgantown next.
Let's talk about Kentucky first.
Then we'll get into Morgantown. Fine.
Kentucky, obviously, Stoops has it going on down there right now.
Yeah, for sure. It was an extremely tough decision. I mean, Neil Brown was Mark Stoops' offensive coordinator at Kentucky. Matt Moore coached the offensive line coach at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, you're trying to get them to say something bad about each other and make the decision easier. And they're like, look, we got enough respect for those guys. So, I mean, they're two first-class programs. And, I mean, it was tough. It was definitely tough between those two. After Pitt became no longer part of the conversation, I mean, you got a 9-4 team and a 7-5 team, I believe, in the SEC. I mean, it was tough for sure.
What's changed in Morgantown since – your visit, I mean, as far as like the facilities, they've made some upgrades. So it's probably been a minute since you've been up there. What was that experience like going in and seeing all that?
They've definitely made some upgrades. I mean, in terms of the technology, they've got things like red light beds and stuff that we could not afford at Jacksonville State, to say the least. I mean, just the level of technology is what stood out to me. They knew I had saw the facilities before, so they gave me a little tour, but not nothing specific. And I mean, we mostly looked at housing. We toured some houses and things like that to see.
What was there any mention or conversation about the fact that they had passed on you initially? Did they address that with you?
For sure. Coach Moore said that I should have took you out of high school. I mean, that's just a mistake that I made. I'm a man. I can own up to that. Neil Brown said the same thing. So, I mean,
And so what was it? What swayed you to Morgantown? Because obviously playing in the SEC is a thing. So my nephew – we talked before we hit record. He's gone through the recruiting process, and that was his thing. I want to play in baseball in the SEC.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing for football. So, you know, what swayed you to Morgantown as far as being able to play in the Big 12 and that level of competition?
Yeah. What swayed me the most was Matt Moore. Mm-hmm. I mean, that dude is phenomenal. Like, we're at Neil Brown's house in his basement having a party with all the recruits and stuff. And, you know, I'm not really any – like, when you're coming out of high school, you want to get all the bells and whistles and stuff. But when I'm asking him football questions, and we basically had, like, an indie period in like, an individual period in Neil Brown's basement where he's going over these things with me, and he's knowledgeable. He's a family man. Someone I can really look up to, a role model.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, Zach Yenser was the same. Zach Yenser is Kentucky's offensive line coach. He was the same way. But, I mean, when it came down to it, you had to ask yourself, like, do you want to play for the student or the teacher? I mean, that's just how it was. I mean, your offensive line coach is who you're going to spend the most time with. So you have to really enjoy being a player for him. And it has to be someone that you can look up to. So that was the biggest factor in my decision.
Now let's circle back around to being that young kid that looked up to Pat White and Geno Smith, and now you get to go wear the same logo, the same, and run out of that tunnel. You know, what is that like for you now? That especially after the story, you know, they didn't offer it. mm-hmm. the disappointment, and now it's here. You're heading to Morgantown probably tomorrow.
Yeah.
Talk about your excitement and what's it like for you now to be able, as a West Virginia kid,
mm-hmm.
to represent the people of West Virginia?
I mean, it's a lot of pride that you take in that. Being from in the state, you want to prove that this state is not just a bunch of hillbillies that can't play or unathletic or cannot play football. We want to prove, like, especially on the offensive line with Frazier, Nestor, Milam, all these West Virginia kids up there, you really want to prove that we can compete at that next level. And, I mean, you just take a certain level of pride in that the people up in the stands are going to be your people and the people that you grew up with and have similar experiences to you. You know the fans are hardworking, just blue-collar individuals, and you want to go out there and play your heart out for that.
The tradition at tackle, I don't know how in-depth. I know you're very familiar with Nestor and Milam, those guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know how in-depth your knowledge of that position is, but there's a rich tradition, and you'll probably see it when you get up there and you start walking around mm-hmm. the building. There's the Mike Comptons, the Brian Joswiaks, the
Bruce McKivitz.
Those guys, there's a tradition there, and there's an expectation, especially at that tackle position. Does that make you a little nervous, or is that something that you want to live up to? So when I'm having this conversation 10 years later with somebody, we're talking about part of that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, that's something to be honored with. That's mm-hmm. not something to be pressured. The pressure's going to come from winning. You know?
Right.
You just want to – if you go out there and win, no one's going to say anything bad. That'll take care of itself. And if you play good, no one's going to say anything bad. So you just want – you want to focus on the now and hopefully at the end I'll be mentioned with those greats, but you don't want to look that far ahead, I would say.
What's it like for you to be an in-state kid? You know, there's a long list of guys that have gone before you. There's out of South Charleston High School alone, there's been, you know, the Robert Alexanders and Capital, Ricky Sherrod, you mm-hmm. know, GW, Coach Pennington.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a long list of West Virginia guys that have gone on. I mean, now you're on that list. Is that something a little extra that you feel like?
Oh, yeah, for sure. As I touched on earlier, I mean, it's going to be an honor to play for the Mountaineers. I mean, when you grow up and watch those guys, you know that it means more to the people in this state because there's not a professional team. There's really – I mean, there's football and basketball that are the big things, but at the end of the day, when football team is good, the whole state feels different. I mean, when you remember when we won the Orange Bowl, like, everyone's happy the next day. Like, the football team has the power to change your mood mm-hmm. the whole next day, the whole football season. You can either be happy or sad depending on how the football team does. I mean, so it's a pretty special place to be like that.
Let's talk a little bit about your family. Obviously, as we talked earlier, I've known your dad for I could tell you some stories about when we were in middle school and high school. I mean, just...
I don't want to hear those stories.
I got a lot of good ones. I mean, we have a lot of the same interests, the DJing and the music and that type of thing. But, you know, obviously, talk about how excited your family was. Obviously, you guys, you've grown up Mountaineer fans.
Oh, yeah.
How as a family,
mm-hmm.
how excited are you guys?
Yeah, I mean, the excitement is unmeasured. Like, when they found out I was offered by the Mountaineers, every single day they're like, "What you doing? What you doing? What you doing?" And they were really worried about me not going there because they knew how good of a program Kentucky was. So but when they found, I let them know before anybody else. I let Matt Moore know first, and then I called my family.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to the Mountaineers, and they're already looking at season tickets and, you know, it's cool. I have a huge family.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard to find out who to get them 8 tickets to. I mean,
there was a conversation at my house. So full disclosure, my mother is married to one of your distant cousins.
Yeah. Derek. Yeah.
And so the conversation was there going to be a Bosley bus going to Morgantown? It's already started, so just so everybody knows, it's already started. I do want to let the fans know what type of young man West Virginia's getting, and I'm going to brag on you for a second. First of all, academically, you do very well. Mm-hmm. Are you still kicking that 4.0 around?
I didn't have a 4.0 in college, but I mean – I'm a computer science major, so it's if you're a 4.0 computer science major, you're probably not going to be.
You're a 4.0 student.
Yeah, I got you.
So, little story, just so people know what type of young man we're getting. So, I think it was spring break. My mom posts a picture. My mother's really involved in the church, Pilgrim Home Baptist Church, and she posts a picture. And you, she took a picture with you and probably one of your teammates.
Yeah,
and you guys are rocking your Jacksonville State shirts. Mm-hmm. In the church, and I remember thinking, here this young man is, he's home for spring break, and on Sunday morning, he gets up and goes to church with his family.
Yeah.
And that's the type of young man, and you don't even have to comment on it, but that's the type of young man the Mountaineers are getting.
Oh, I'd love to comment on that. I mean, my family means more to me than, I mean, I'm so blessed to have the family that I have. You know, whenever I'm in town, a lot of guys go out and spend time with their high school friends. You know, I do that some. But if my mom calls me and says, "Hey, can you take me to the grocery store?" Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you might be busy. Even if I'm busy, I'm dropping everything I'm doing there right at that point, going to take my grandmother to the grocery store. I mean, because I'm so blessed to have them both still. I mean, both of my grandmothers are just incredible, and I mean, I want to take care of them for the time that they're here with me.
Amen. So. Let's look ahead. We're caught up to date with the storytelling. Let's look ahead. Penn State on the board.
Yeah.
What, you know, that's not directional Michigan. That's not such and such Tech Southwest.
Exactly.
That's Penn State.
That's there.
Yeah. What's, you know, when you look at the head, I know you got, there's a lot of work to be done, but when you look at that, it's August 31st, what kind of goes through your head?
Gives you chills, man. I mean, just to... You know how much that game means to the fans here, and that's the old Big East, I guess you could call it. Like, I mean, it's not the big rival, it's not the Pitt rivalry, but it's definitely a rivalry. So, you know how much that game's going to mean. I mean, my mom's already been looking at hotels, and she cannot find one. So, we talked to Coach to get that taken care of. But, So I mean, it's a huge game, and. You wanna play at the highest level, and the Big Ten and the SEC are probably the two best conferences in the nation at this point. So to play that to if we can beat them, and I mean that'd be huge for the state and huge for the program.
Yeah, and even just going down that schedule, I mean I don't have it posted, but I know it's, you know, you open with Penn State. Then you go to Pittsburgh, the part of the backyard brawl. I mean, did you ever dream that you'd be a part of the backyard brawl, especially when the game went away for so long?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the game. I mean, the 13-9 game just reeks. Even though I was so young when that happened, it's still like, you know, it's still ingrained in your head. I mean, so you know how big that game is. And you know it's going to be hostile to go to at Old Heinz Field, I forget how to pronounce the Azeker Field or whatever. But, I mean, it's two good programs just ready to play their all. And you want to involve yourself in those type of experiences because those are lifelong. You'll never forget those games.
Well, I'm not going to keep you, man, but I do want to say congratulations. And it's just crazy to watch, like, you know, God, now these – the kids of people I know, my friends are, you know, accomplishing so much. You know, I get to watch my nephew, you know, do his thing. And then even, you know, I've got friends from Morgantown, the WVU guys, their kids are like Dylan Ray. I don't know if they introduced you to John Ray's son. Mm-hmm. He's at Kentucky now. He was in Morgantown. So there's all these guys that I know and their kids are starting to go and play in these programs. And it's just, it's crazy, man. But I know your story and coming out of school, how it was the heartbreak, but man, it's almost like if you just don't give up on something, and it'll come, sure. Man. So I appreciate you coming down and meeting with me. I know you got a ton of stuff going on. You're heading to Morgantown, but I thought it was important that the Mountaineer fans that listen to this show get to know you a little better.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you coming down.
Yes, sir. It's no problem.
All right. Good luck to you.
Good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Touchdown City Show. Don't forget, swing by touchdowncity.com, find your favorite podcast platform, hit subscribe, leave us a review, and then make sure you're following Xavier on, go ahead and give everybody your Twitter handles. You got all that stuff, Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter's just Bosley Xavier. My Instagram's just Xavier Bosley 67, so Bosley's not a common name, so I don't have to come up with a crazy name for it. So that's it.
Have you talked about your number, by the way?
I believe there is a 67 at West Virginia. I'm not going to come in and take his number.
Okay.
If he wants it, he's going to have it. He was there first. Players make numbers. So.
There you go.
23 is the ugliest number until Michael Jordan wears it.
So. Amen. There you go. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Visit our new website at touchdowncity.com. The Touchdown City Show is produced by Anthony Lewis in partnership with HD Media, the Charleston Gazette-Mail.